You know we're recording at the moment.
Right, okay, just make sure you upload the right file. You can make public the...
Dear me. All right, shall we start then?
Yeah. And my name's Gerard Malik.
Okay. And cue the intro music.
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast.
Hello and welcome to Host Unknown podcast, which is, gentlemen,
more fun than a security vendor's briefing.
Yeah, pick well done, Andy.
Pick of the week.
Yeah, we're trying to record this a little bit differently than last week because one, last week's went on for nearly an hour, and two, that we had some post production problems, which meant I was banished from Host Unknown for about 24 hours whilst I fixed it.
Whereas today. You've decided to have pre-production problems and burn the hour up front. So
absolutely.
Today's episode is going to be 6 minutes long because we've
got 20 minutes. So this is very typical of Tom, and me and Andy were talking about this earlier. So when it comes to starting a meeting, say like you have to start at top of the hour, Andy's the person that usually arrives on time on the hour.
Yeah.
I'd arrive 5 minutes late normally. And Tom actually arrives on time, but then he says, I'm off to make a coffee. And then he disappears for 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's because that shows I'm on time. But actually, it's illegal to have a meeting without a hot drink.
It also shows you're disorganised.
No, it doesn't. It means I'm really busy. Back-to-back meetings and everything.
So let us know, what would annoy you more? Someone that is consistently 5 minutes late, or someone that joins on time but then wastes time by saying I've got to go now?
So you're either asking me or the audience, but what I would say though, Jav, is consistently 5 minutes late is more than aspirational for you, to be honest. I mean, I remember once many years ago when we were doing some filming, you had to turn up at 8 o'clock in the morning on site. What time did you turn up? 10 o'clock.
Which one was
this? I couldn't find a shirt.
Oh, this is the CISSP. You know, it was your guy's fault for also having it, hosting it in like some the arse end of London. Honestly, it was such a mission getting there. It was
just
terrible.
Because our director lives in the arse end of London doesn't you can't get. I came on public transport. You got your own bike.
When is Balham the arse end of London?
Yeah. Well, because it's in the south, isn't it? He's a northern
exactly.
boy.
Yeah, exactly. Jav's a north boy. Yeah.
North London.
The only place to be.
Anyway, gentlemen, how are we? We're in week 5 of lockdown, I think, is it? Week 5, week 6, I don't know. It's all blending into one. So how are we, gentlemen?
All good from my side. Can't complain. It's a nice, cool 22 degrees here in the south today.
Yeah, it's all good here as well. Recouped the price on the £35 clippers I got. Both the boys have had haircuts. I've had haircuts. We all look terrible, but it's worth every penny.
And I will tell you, as we're talking about spending money, I did. I am a convert, and it was Jav who recommended to me to get a curved monitor.
Ultra widescreen.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
So I got myself a Samsung ultra widescreen curved monitor to replace.
And if Samsung is listening, there are plenty of sponsorship opportunities
available.
We are available
for sponsorship. But I used this monitor to replace my previous Samsung TV that I decided to try. Big 40-inch one. It was just too big. But
is there such a thing as a too big monitor?
Yeah, that was a bit... So I was going to bed at like 4 in the morning because I think my eye, the retinas had been burned from the back of my eyes. I'd be working in the evening and then go to bed at sort of 2 and I just couldn't sleep. None of that blue light filter. But my new monitor's got like a eye protection mode. So if I'm working...
Yeah, they're called like eyelids.
So it kind of it dims the screen, you know. I assume Android have it. Tom, you'll know what I'm talking about, like the nighttime mode, where it's like a blue light filter. So my monitor can do that in the evenings. Obviously, it's...
So basically, it looks yellow at night.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Very good.
Good. Very good. So you should be even more productive.
Well, I am. So the problem I had with a 40-inch monitor was I was creating a presentation and using font size 4.
Four?
I could see it, no problem.
On a presentation?
Yeah. But then obviously once I used a smaller screen, I was like, no one's going to be able to read that.
What? Jav, I think you and I did a presentation, a video on people who did presentations at 4 point.
Many years ago.
Dear me. Have you learnt nothing from us, Andy?
I'll be honest, absolutely not. No. You know me. It's kind of whatever you guys are talking about, in one ear, out the other. You're like my white noise machine as I progress through the day.
So if I'm the white noise machine, what's Jav?
Oh, here we go. This is like checkmate, isn't it? That's like, how do you answer that one without the HR department sort of taking an interest?
Welcome to Host Unknown, where casual racism is the norm.
Oh, dear.
White privilege at work.
On that note, I think we should move on to our first little segment, a segment we like to call
Billy Big Balls of the Week.
So, Jav, you've got a very good Billy Big Balls this week. Who have you got?
My Billy Big Balls for the week is a gentleman by the name of B.R. Shetty. And to those who are very, very clued up in the world of security, you'll know that he doesn't work in security. He actually is the person that acquired Travelex, the money exchange company, in 2014.
Right.
And
they recently in the news for having a ransomware issue, weren't
that's they? Right, that's right. So on New Year's Eve, they had a ransomware attack and all the systems were taken offline. They were down completely for several weeks and they reverted to some manual processes. And, you know, it was a real cluster.
So what would manual processes be for a currency exchange? That's definitely a calculator, right?
It's something like a calculator. I think they pulled out those old registers, like with, you know, black pen, blue pen, you know, that kind of thing.
A carbon paper.
Yeah, the old school bartering system.
Yeah.
An abacus.
So the ransomware took them down. So they were out for a while, and then the travel bans kicked in. So a lot less people were traveling, and I suppose had less need for foreign exchange. And all these things came together. And today it was in the news that Travelex is now up for sale. And it's unfortunate because only last year Shetty floated the business to the wider Finabler. A group, and it was valued at 1.2 billion. This was just last year, nice. So that's how much a ransomware can wipe off your company. But that's not where the story ends. That is just like small fry. I mean,
you mean there's more?
Can you imagine waking up and thinking, "How can my life get any worse?"
So Shetty also founded this company called NMC. It's a healthcare company.
Yeah,
and I believe it's under investigation in Dubai for alleged fraud and debts of over 6.5 billion. That's billion with a B, and B for big balls. And that's
so he lost 1.4 billion, and they've got debt, and another company of his has got debts of 6.3 billion.
5 billion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, what's 0.2 of a billion between friends?
Split the difference.
Yeah.
So
okay, so why is he a Billy Big Balls?
Hey, you don't
surely that should be a winner, right? Oh, mind you, if he's got, you know, if he's still moving ahead, then I guess that's something.
Yeah. When you rack up numbers like Al Capone sort of territory, then I think you deserve to be Billy Big Balls.
Yeah, we're different leagues here. That guy's definitely in a league of his own.
Yeah.
Oh my God. My God, and I'm worried about my bank overdraft.
Exactly.
Mind you, they do say that if you owe your bank 100 quid, it's your problem. If you owe them 100 million, it's their problem.
Yeah. Wise words.
Yeah.
Wise words.
That's why I'm trying to rack up a larger overdraft. I'm trying to work out exactly when it makes it their problem.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Jav. That was our slot of...
Billy Big Balls of the Week.
So, running up huge debts seems to qualify you for the Host Unknown Hall of Fame of some description, or Hall of Infamy.
Yeah, I think we've all been there before.
Well, yes, we have.
He who has not been in crippling debt cast the first stone.
Yeah.
Give a shout out to a couple of my friends who decided to jump the country and leave their debts here in the UK. And there's me sticking around and paying it off.
You send us screenshots of your credit card every now and then, don't you?
Yeah. Good times back then.
Well, you're still doing it, as far as I'm aware. The last one was for a television.
Dropped. Yeah, the numbers have dropped significantly. I mean,
and the purchases have changed category slightly.
Yeah,
so now it's more TV based.
Yeah, less champagne.
Those are rookie numbers. You've got to pop those numbers up, boy.
Yeah. You want to get them to Tom Langford 2017 figures. What a year that was! I think
alcohol, huh?
The cause of and solution to life's problems.
Is that a laugh or a cry? That's
I know.
Gone in either direction.
I'm wondering whether I should have brought that up. Maybe we should do a special one. A special podcast on 2017. Tom's memories.
Yeah, if you think 2020 is bad,
it'll be a short podcast.
Well, if we think viewership is dropping, we can always just pull on the heartstrings by, like, Tom 2017 and the uncut version, all the details he left out of the blog post.
Was that a Dave Lee Travis thing or Simon? I can't remember the stories he used to tell on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, the radio station. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like an old person radio station. I wouldn't know.
Just because you listen to radio that has adverts on it. LBC or Capital or something like that. Dear God.
Kiss FM, I'll have you know.
Oh, my God. Come on. The BBC, darling. That's all you need to listen to.
Neither of you got Amazon Music. That's the only thing I listen to now.
No, I have Apple Music. Come on.
Of course you do.
The whole family has Apple Music, whether they want it or not. So, I think we should move on to part two now. We're going to talk about...
Tweet of the Week.
The Tweet of the Week. And this one's me, actually, and I'm really looking forward to this one. Because it actually affects all three of us, I'm pleased to say. So it's a tweet from IT Security Guru. That's IT_SecGuru. And it reads, congrats to most entertaining blog finalists at Naked Security. Nope. At G Cluely. Nope. At Javad. Yes. At Smashing Security. Isn't that at G Cluely? I don't know. At the Many Hats Club. Nope. At Tom Langford, yes, and at Gabrielle BGB. Vote now for your winners in the EU Sec Blogger Awards. So, yeah, so both Javad and I are up for Most Entertaining Blog, but also Host Unknown is up for another award. Was it the Legends of Cybersecurity? Is that right?
It is indeed. It is indeed. Yeah. Although we don't need a bit of plastic for validation for that.
No. But if I was given one, you know.
And who would we be up against in the Legends of Cybersecurity? Just so I'm aware of the competition.
All right, who's got a browser open?
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Come on. Well, I haven't because I'm hosting the thing. I don't need to make sure that... Where is it? Oh, there we go.
Let's have a look.
No, I got it. Okay,
I'm finding it.
Well, I've got it.
You don't do it, I do it.
Yeah. and back to the casual racism. So we've got Gabrielle B. Blog, Smashing Security, The State of Security, Graham Cluley, Schneier on Security, Host Unknown, woo, Andy Gill, Zero Sec, and the Beer Farmers. Why is Graham in there twice?
Where is he twice?
Well, Smashing Security and
That's Carol's, isn't it? Smashing Security is Carol's. Graham Cluley.
Oh, this is true. I always think of it as Carol and Graham.
Well, you know, Graham's just riding her coattails.
I think so. So yeah, you got some stiff competition there. What do you reckon?
So I'm actually just looking down the list of nominees. So there's some categories in here, like best Instagrammer, and there's only two categories in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you hate to come second in that?
Last year, our good friend William Lau won the award for best Instagrammer.
He did.
I guess why is he not in here today? I mean, he is a bit of a legend on Instagram.
Maybe mostly for his food, in fairness.
Do we not?
But he was taking pictures of security swag, so I don't know if that's still ongoing. And I know he also started a new job late last year, so that may have put the kibosh on. And he had some time out as well, so that may have put the kibosh on him sort of pushing that blog. But yeah, it's a shame he's not there to defend his title.
Right, and I noticed there's no category for the best TikToker, which I believe I would fall into these days.
Probably because they didn't want to see any content that you might produce. Quite scary. But anyway, that was my tweet of the week, because that's a big celebration of the type of quality that you're currently listening to. We don't go in for long silent pauses and things like that. We're the no dead air on here. We certainly know where to draw the line, and our content is second to none, especially if you want to hear about curvy monitors, big 40-inch TVs, and dodgy Indian entrepreneurs. Absolutely. So yeah, that's a good tweet of the week there.
Tweet of the week.
So these blogger awards, they're going to be good fun, I think.
They're going to be virtual this year, aren't they?
Virtual, that's right. But they've asked for everybody's address, which is interesting, for a surprise.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
Debt collectors.
So they know where to send the invoice to.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the lovely folks at Askenzi that are sorting this out. Is that correct?
Askenzi PR and Marketing, that's right.
For Askenzi all your PR and Marketing.
PR and secure marketing needs.
And sponsorship needs, maybe.
Well, they are one of the best PR firms in security, in my opinion. I've worked with them for a number of years.
They are lovely, lovely people, and they're just crying out to sponsor a podcast or something like that, I hear.
I believe so.
Yeah, they absolutely. In fact, you know, we could put them in contact with a few people if they're interested. But yes, they've been running it for the last few years. They've done a marvellous job, and as you say, lovely, lovely people. Some, you know, the best PR and marketing company in the security world. Yvonne and Neil, we thank you.
Going a bit Trump-esque there on the whole Fox News promotion going on.
What? What are you talking about? Look, we need sponsors. What can I say?
Are we not? Can we not furlough Host Unknown? Can we not just take some cash?
We've been on furlough for about 18 months.
No, that was a sabbatical. That's different.
That's right. So when you're on a sabbatical, you're not being paid. When you're on furlough, you are. When are you going to release some of that money, Andy?
Living in a sabbatical is not cheap. So The bad news is...
Oh, dear.
Yeah, those curved monitors aren't going to pay for themselves, well,
exactly.
Andy.
Exactly. No. No, we need to attract all the big names to this podcast because this shit isn't going to sell itself. as we have so plainly seen so far with the wild success of last week's podcast.
What, we done a podcast? Did you publish it?
Yes! I know the viewing figures don't quite reflect the fact that it was published, but it went out there. I slaved over it, published it about midnight, worked. It's there. I even had somebody give it a thumbs up. So, definitely there.
Easy mistake to make.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they meant to hit the other button. I don't know. Andy, I think it's time for Rant of the Week because we're floundering here and you've got a cracking proper story on this. So I'm going to hand over to you, Andy, for...
Rant of the Week.
Go for it.
Okay. That's my cue, right? So should we actually explain to people why there's these awkward silences? Because we're a bit short today, aren't we, Tom? We're having some technical difficulties. So none of us are seeing or hearing the cues that we should be having.
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. So we'll be fine. Next week's will be fine.
It's a slick, well-oiled machine, this podcast.
You know, this is how you know Tom used to be a CISO at a global corporation. He's all about investing up front in technology, not having the resources to configure it properly, and then saying, screw it, we're going back to the old ways.
Didn't even check for the need for what we actually needed or wanted. It's just,
you took the mickey out of me for doing it, and now you're taking the mickey out of me for not doing it. I'm like, you can't win.
No, you really can't.
Well, actually, I don't know why I'm surprised at that because, yeah, I know I can't.
Right. Yeah, so, this is sound like your rant, Tom. Or is it,
your rant is you guys rant ranting at me. Yeah. Go on. You go. For
so,
it.
Yeah. So, my rant is about Tom not being able to. No. So it is a story about some of some people may be familiar with the Snoopers Charter. Or its official name, I believe, is the Investigatory Powers Act, under which these are surveillance laws in the UK in which internet and telcos must retain communications data for up to a year. And the reason this has been such, a controversial topic is the barriers to access that data. So historically, when it first came out, you just needed someone senior in the police to say, yes, there's a valid need to access this data. So that was kind of, this was in 2016, and that was kind of changed around about 2017. But now there's, some five additional bodies have been added to the companies who can officially access this data. And they include the Insolvency Service and the Pensions Regulator, which is a very interesting one because you may be wondering...
What do they need to know about this stuff?
Exactly. Why does the Pensions Regulator need to see your browsing history?
And the insolvency people, what's that, to check your shopping list?
So the Insolvency Service stating they do it to investigate breaches of company director disqualification orders. Which is obviously
your browser history.
Well, it's a very
surely they just looked that up at company's house.
Yeah, well, they need to be able to attribute subscribers to telephone numbers and analysed itemised billings, as well as be able to see what IP addresses are accessing specific email accounts. So it's what? Quite a broad. I mean, if anyone knows anything about data collection and then data analysis, you know how difficult it is to sift through. Sort of vast amounts of data. I would suggest reading up on this, the Snoopers Charter. Check L. Reg, I will say I'm not familiar with many of the writers there these days, but
no,
you know, still good stories.
As opposed to the one that we used to know.
As opposed to the one that we did know.
Hey, John.
Big up, John. Big up, so, John. Yeah, check it out.
Do you want to be a sponsor, John?
The Snooper's Charter.
So if the insolvency... If the insolvency folks want to know about, you know, directors that are disqualified, we could help them out to start that list.
So what I'm more interested in is what the what the pensions fund would
oh,
want.
Oh, nice segue there, sir. Nice move.
So the pensions fund, so the reasons they are looking at the data is they want to be able to, what's the phrase they use to... delve into anyone's emails so it can secure compliance and punish wrongdoing.
Of what? Grammar? Of what? Punish wrongdoing sending a heated email, flamer.
So this is the regulator that checks that companies have added employees into their pension schemes. So I think the whole thing is that, you know, this whole sort of mass surveillance state that's sort of coming through the back door.
Does accessing email do that? You add people through your pension provider.
Ah, but if the company's not doing it, then, you know, the regulator wants to search evidence that it's happening or not happening.
I'm not sure that email is the right place for that to happen.
Email, web browsing. It's not. It's just give us all the data. That's what they want. They just want access into the network. It's... yeah, it's one of those stories that, you know, you want to get worked up about, but there's so much to read on the topic, you know.
Yeah, and actually, I got, you know, bigger issues right now, right?
Exactly. Speaking of getting worked up about these sorts of issues, shall we try to get Rowena Fielding on our podcast next week and, like, ask for her opinion?
Yeah, we want to limit it to an hour, though, in fairness. No more then. But yes, absolutely. Rowena, if you're listening, please give us a shout and come and join us.
And explain to us exactly why the pensions fund wants access to our personal data.
Well, I think she'll tell us why they shouldn't have access to it.
Well,
without a shadow of a doubt. Because Rowena is very... she's very hot on privacy, as everybody who's met her knows.
And probably more knowledgeable than any of us, so...
Yeah. Well, it doesn't take much
on most things, basically. Yeah. I mean, we're talking to an ex-CISO, an ex-analyst, and you, Andy. Are we still not sure what you do?
I love the fact that no one knows what I do. It's when are you guys going to realise I don't even work in InfoSec, but you guys keep adding me to, you know, all of these events and stuff. It's like I've got my own marketing job to do, you know.
You need to do a better job because we don't see much of you.
Well, Tom gave Lee a job.
Yeah, I'll give anyone a job.
And he was stacking shells in a supermarket before then. So,
yeah.
Working as a waitress in the cocktail bar is...
Yeah.
As Depeche said.
Depeche
It
mode?
Was Depeche Mode.
No. The Human
Spandau Ballet.
The Human League.
Oh, Human League. Sweet. Oh, they all blur into one. I mean, my next one was going to be Duran Duran.
I guess the 60s was more your era, wasn't it? That's talking about Beach Boys, that's where your knowledge resides.
Proper skiffle beat combos. Oh dear, good rant, Andy. I think we almost got a little bit serious there.
Almost. Let's not dwell on it too much. Well, with what's going on at the moment, it's just about burying all these, these powers. These are things that people have wanted to try and slip in before, and it has actually been judged to be illegal twice in the past, incompatible with human rights as well.
Yeah.
Or EU human rights, so it's...
that's why we left the EU.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Why not? Because I want to be able to see your browsing history.
Yeah. So we left the EU so they can see our browsing history and not be able to buy PPE.
Exactly.
And put up 5G masts. Don't forget about that.
Absolutely. Don't know. Anyway, thank you, Andy, for that. Rant of the Week. Great. So we've got one other section left, which may or may not be broadcast. We will soon see. Jav, would you like to introduce
the little people?
Are we talking about little people?
Yes. Yes. You know, the jingle you just heard.
Oh, yes. The jingle I just heard, which I clearly heard.
Clearly.
So this section is called the little people, where we like to help promote not just the big names in the industry, because we are, let's face it, we are an industry that likes to build up heroes and, you know, then tear them down as well. But that's beside the point. It's very much a cult of personality within the security industry. So what we like to do is to focus on someone that doesn't get the recognition that we feel that they deserve, the unsung hero, if you will, or as we like to call them, the little people. I always feel like we should get a government grant for doing this kind of stuff, like, you know.
Yeah, we should get money.
Well, I told you, you know, we should, you know, I was talking the other day on the old group chat about, you know, this company that, without giving away too much about what I do, but, you know, there was a company I was working with based in, you know, one of these co-working spaces in the...
Oh, I thought you were going to say Australia.
Yeah, okay, it was in Australia. But a very expensive co-working space right in the centre of, you know, downtown financial district. But it's all paid for by Microsoft because they were granted that space for being a startup. So there is some help out there if you are starting your own company, if you're looking for an office, you know, you want to work with like-minded people. And these aren't, you know, sort of like the old school desks, which are, you know, close together. You get some big space in these places, dedicated meeting rooms, you know, fridges full of drinks, guest speakers in every day, and just resource on tap. I mean, I have no idea how these places make money, and I assume it's some kind of tax write-off. Maybe Jav, you can help me understand that a bit better. But you know, there are these things that are out there, so it's I'm not quite sure how we got onto that, but something just made me think of it.
Yeah. Yeah, Google Campus does that as well. So there's a Google Campus in London.
Yes.
And I know I applied for some office space there, and basically I think they took one look at my technical record and said, not a chance, sunshine.
Right. So try Azure, man. Try Microsoft.
Yeah, well, I'm a Microsoft house, but I'm not exactly doing any cutting edge stuff on there by any stretch.
Well, you know,
mostly email and Teams.
So automate some of your Excel stuff. You know, get someone to write it for you into your invoice management system. You know, your game changer for the industry.
There we go.
Know that you're developing it, or rather, you're paying someone in a cheaper resource area to do the work for you, and I'm sure they will sign you up.
Oh, they'll just throw themselves at me, I'm
absolutely
sure. Because that 50 quid a month I'm paying them for my 0365, you know, that's going to be
if you're paying
showing
50
up
quid
on
a
them.
Month, then I think they will definitely give you the space, because that's quite a high amount of money for a business account.
Well, it's for three, well, it's a whole bunch of stuff anyway. That's not a lot. It's not that a lot. What I've got,
really?
Yeah.
See,
yeah. I mean, I know you can get it cheaper, but I've got a whole bunch of services under there as well. So,
okay,
you know, a whole bunch of other stuff. It's the E3 plus a bunch of other stuff added on, and that's for currently three accounts.
Yeah, I'm sure you can get it cheaper from keygen.exe or something. No, I'm just I do pay for my software, which is why I'm curious about that price, because I certainly don't pay that amount.
I'll send you an invoice.
Jeez, you're always billing me for your time, man. I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not counting this as consultancy. Stop doing
No. This isn't consultancy. This is you paying my Microsoft bill for a month.
So, you know, you kind of like say it as a joke, but I don't know whether I mentioned this to you guys, but Adrian Sanabria and Haroon Mir, they done a closing keynote at Virus Bulletin last year. And Adrian, as part of it, he took a delve into the murky world of awards. And he set up a fictitious company, and he created a fictitious CMO on LinkedIn for that.
Yeah.
And what he ended up doing was applying for a bunch of awards, and there's a whole series of these awards, like the Stevies and some others, that said, okay, basically pay us a grand or two grand and we'll give you an award. And so he paid for a few, and he goes, literally, you turn up and it's like going to the cloakroom. You turn up with your tag, you give it to them, they look at the number and they hand you your award. And then to a side, there's a little sort of like stage area where you can just, you just walk up there. There's some people there and official photographer if you want to pay for that part as part of your package as well. And you get your photograph taken, and it, Bob's your uncle. So you can get awards for absolutely nothing. But the other thing he said that was funny was his fake CMO posted on LinkedIn, happy to announce that our fake company won these awards. And within a week or so, he actually got a legit Silicon Valley company approach his fake CMO and offer him or show interest in offering him a job as a CMO at their company.
Brilliant. I mean, I'm not pointing any fingers, but don't both you two guys sort of point to your award cabinets and the the highly awarded status of your activities in this industry.
Yeah, but our awards come from valid sources that have real parties and real people at them. And let's face it, if there's a party, then it's a valid award.
Yes, true story. Even if it is being paid for by sponsorship money, that you know, people
of which, to win those awards. In many cases, I have been a sponsor. Yes, yeah. But I, you know, the two things are entirely unrelated. A bit like Jav winning awards at the Bloggers Awards, where he's a judge.
Yeah, strange. Strange how that happens.
Every year he's been a judge, he's won an award. It's fascinating.
No. Let's see again. This is just like slandering my good name. First the casual racism, and now dragging my name through the mud.
Merely bringing up data points for other people to join the dots on.
See, these were voted for by the public. The judges have no influence over it.
Then why have judges? Why have judges then?
I am the people's champion, and that.
Why have judges if the judges have no input? Why have a judge?
Well, therefore, like admin issues, technical issues. I tell you what. I tell you what. If you think it's so easy, why don't you give up hours and hours out of the year to dedicate to helping the community and, you know, judging something and putting it together?
Oh, I have. I've been a judge on something, and it did take hours, I have to say. But then again, it wasn't like the public had a vote. It was purely judged on their actual capabilities by the people called the judges, not by some sort of voting and then judges saying, maybe. No, we don't agree with that.
Anyway, so the whole idea is that I think it is very, very possible for us as Host Unknown to actually come up with a product, and it doesn't even need to work. Like Andy said, it can just be your accountancy automation thing. As long as you market it in the right way, and you position it in the right way, say it's an app for your phone and it's like whatever, then you can get your space at Google or Microsoft or whatever. So I think we should make that for next year a target. We get Tom a space at one of these fancy co-working places.
I'd go for that. Yeah, that's good.
See, as soon as it's in his benefit, Tom agrees to partake in fraudulent activity.
Especially when it's not going to cost him anything as well. That's what he's
damn straight. Although we need to let's be truthful about this, and the app needs to be called something like the app that doesn't work.
Yes, because you've still got your morals, right?
I've still got my morals and my principles.
I'm going to do a quick subject change here, because I'm conscious time's ticking down. We spent so much time, you know, trying to connect and, you know, standard issues. It's Ramadan, isn't it? I was wondering if we had anyone on the line who was able to talk us through what this means and what's going to be happening.
Oh, very
so
good.
Tomorrow it will start, Ramadan. So I shall be observing it like I do every year.
As do I.
So when we come to record next week's podcast, you're going to be a miserable bastard. Just like every other Ramadan you've been. Because we all remember that time at Rant.
Oh, yeah. At the Rant.
When we were hosting Rant. And literally in between, folks, this is this. We're opening the veil on this somewhat. But in between every single session that we had to introduce and all that, while the session was going on, Jav was just mumbling under his mouth, under his breath, like,
really,
it was
mumbling.
A waste of time.
He was.
No. Oh, it's a waste of time. I don't know why we did this. And then it was suddenly, and hello, we're back to, and, you know, the next talk would start. I don't know why we bothered. And then we went out for dinner after dark, and he was lovely.
Do you think the fact that we were missold and mistold what our position would be, what our involvement would be, whether it was like, oh, you've got 3 minutes in between, prepare. So we prepared jingles, we prepared lines, yeah, we prepared everything. And then it was like, oh, no, you've only got 10 seconds. Quickly introduce the next person in 10 seconds and then shut up. And then it was like, oh, we're running a bit behind schedule, so you can like fill up time with more stuff. That had nothing to do with it at all.
No, I mean, I do recall Andy and I sort of adapting and improvising and overcoming, and you just, you know, moaning under your breath. But, you know, maybe that was just me. Anyway.
I also remember that was the night that you stole Gemma Patterson's phone.
I didn't. Because I was in the photographs, as I recall.
What's that? We run out of time. What? Unbelievable.
Yeah. We need to cut this right now. Gemma, I know you're listening. I'm sorry again. It was pre-2017. What can I say? So, folks, thank you very much on that incriminating note. Let's draw to a close. Thank you both. It's been lovely as always.
Wish I could say the same.
And we'll play a quick jingle for our sponsor this week.
Oh, quick jingle, yeah. So this could be you. Host Unknown. Sponsored by Insert Name Here. There you go. We may even record one just for you, I'm not sure. Depends if I can find the invoice from the guy who did those about 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah. So, but that could be you. That could be you.
Maybe I should be looking this time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all those samples I managed to get. But yes, sponsors, we're still looking for you. Askenzi, we're definitely looking at you because you're lovely and wonderful. And thank you, gentlemen. A pleasure as always. And say goodbye to the little people out there.
Goodbye, little people.
Blimey, I've worked with better trained monkeys. Anyway,
what
bye-bye.
Were you doing working with monkeys?
So basically, I've got this story. I'm going to tell you what I was doing
about your animal abuse.
I'll tell you what I was doing working with monkeys, Jav. Recording a podcast. Goodbye, folks.
Cheers.
Host Unknown, the podcast, was written, performed and produced by Andrew Agnes, Javad Malik and Tom Langford. Copyright 2015 or something like that. Insert legal agreement here as applicable and binding in your country of residence. We thank you. And we're out.
Oh, man, you are so useless, Tom, without the jingles.
It's weird.
What do you mean, so useless
without
the
jingles? I think the jingles help it flow a lot better.
It does, yeah, definitely.
It's crazy. Oh,